All right, Allegheny Mountain Radio. We just finished listening to a song by Will Reed. We'll get into that a little bit later, but I told y'all I had a surprise for you, and so I'm going to give you that, but just bear with me for a minute. Imagine it's 3:22 a.m., you're nestled safely in your most comfortable position in your warm bed, and you rolled over and you noticed the alarm clock was flashing. Now, you know that means the power went out, but thankfully it's back on, and you drift back into your deep sleep. What you didn't know is that at 12:37, the snow and freezing rain on top of Warm Springs Mountain caused a limb to snap, knocking out power in the surrounding areas. And while VDOT has been out several hours treating the roads, it's still icy in certain spots. While you slept, a first responder got a tone, rushed out of their warm bed into the elements to climb 30-plus feet into the air in 27-degree temperature to help restore the power. The job of an electrical lineman can be dangerous, risky, and at times unthankful. They quietly go about their work, oftentimes unnoticed when the sun is shining and the sky is blue, but during and after major storms, the men and women who do this work help to keep our almost impossible electric system up and running. I'm joined in studio today by Will Reed and I also have Shay McMullen in the chair with us, and they're going to talk about some of the experiences they had over the years working at Bark Electric Cooperative. Will also plays a mean guitar and can pin a tune. You heard that. That was him with a song titled Cold as Your Heart. So I guess I want to start with, you, Shay. How long have you been a lineman?
Been with Bark Electric just about 10 years and been a lineman just about six of that.
So you've been 10 years into the game,
yes, sir.
6 years in alignment. And how about you, Will?
Well, I've been with the ARC since 2015 and started my apprenticeship a year later in 2016, towards the end of 2016.
So over the course of the time that you guys have served, you know, you look back over the training. I'll start with you, Shay. What was something from the training that, you know, stuck with you or sticks with you that you consciously keep in your mind, you know?
Well, no doubt the number one thing from the training that have instilled in us from the beginning is safety. You know, regardless of what your interest is in this line of work, you're going to understand that from the beginning, that if you don't take safety as your number one priority, you have your priorities wrong. So yes, absolutely the safety aspect of what we do.
And Will, I'll ask you, you know, who are some of the people who kind of helped you out in getting started? Some of the people who helped influence you or along the way?
Well, when I first started out, I was in the right-of-way department and was going back and forth about, starting an apprenticeship. And obviously, all the guys that were linemen ahead of me, Shay here, and a lot of the other apprentices were pushing me to pursue it. And, I guess I owe them big time for that because I couldn't be happier right now with my career choice.
Talk about that training a little bit. Like what, you know, day one, what sort of happens when you enter into a apprenticeship program like the lineman program as such?
Well, you're introduced to the line of work. Some of us come from different backgrounds where you may be familiar with it. But first thing you probably will learn is that the guys that have done this before you are out to teach you obviously everything that they can to make you the best lineman possible. And within that, you know, you have to go in this with the understanding that you know nothing. You don't want to get out in front of what they're trying to teach you. You want to understand that they're sharing with you a career's worth of knowledge. And in that, what you absorb, what you take in is going to determine how you are in 10 years from now. What you can say that you can accomplish is part of what those guys are teaching you. So humility is a big part.
Amen.
Of your first step.
So you guys are both, you know, you've got 10 years in Shay and you've got 6 years in Will. You're at a certain stage in life where, the hair's maybe a little gray, maybe you a little bit more Shay.
Yes, sir.
Will, it's coming. But, you know, there's a up-and-coming class of linemen coming behind you, you know, younger guys. How do you see yourselves as helping the young guys, you know, being a link between the old school, so to speak, and the young bloods coming in?
Definitely take pride in showing the new guys, you know, things that would have been helpful to you coming up and things that were helpful that guys showed you coming up. It's something that I think we all take pride in, making it easier on guys. And, obviously if they're taught right, then it's going to make it easier on everybody, and it's very, very prideful.
Well, if you're just tuning in, the voice you just heard was that of Will Reed, and speaking before him was that of Shay McMullen. They are two linemen from the Bark Electric Cooperative. They have come in. I know you guys were just up north in New Hampshire. Did both of you guys take the trip with the cooperative up to New Hampshire? So you were helping another electric cooperative get their power restored. They had a incredible storm. I heard you talking about some of the measurements of the snow you guys had. I'll start with you, Shay. You know, you guys go to New Hampshire, you get there, and how much snow is on the ground waiting for you?
So when we first got to New Hampshire, when they put out the call for mutual aid, they were basically staging crews in preparation for the storm that they knew was coming, that was forecasted. So when we got there, there was residual snow. You know, it's New Hampshire, so they see snow frequently. Within about 6 hours, there was probably another 10 inches of snow on the ground when we got there. By the time we left, we were looking at 31 inches of fresh snow along their system. So a little bit more than you see in Bath County.
Well, Will, I'll ask you this then. I mean, you know, the New Hampshire trip you guys just went through, is that the most snow you've dealt with in this line of work, sort of trying to...
Absolutely. It's one of the bigger snows I've seen in my lifetime.
And, you know, for our listeners, just either one of you, whoever wants to jump in, like, when you're dealing with 31 inches of snow and trying to, you know, get to where you're going to be working, I mean, you know, talk about, and especially in a new city, a new town, somewhere you may have never been, I mean, talk about what that's like hitting the ground running somewhere you've never been before.
I got to try out snowshoes for the first time. And that was a running joke. You know, obviously I'd never used them before. That and, you know, their equipment stuff, they had them four-wheelers on tracks and you know, different types of equipment. Four-wheel drive is obviously a necessity up there. Yeah, like I said, we were lucky enough that everything that we went to, we were able to get the bucket to, which was very nice. You know, they kept the roads as well as they could. Most of the main highways were in pretty decent shape.
Well, Shay, let me ask you this, since you've been doing it a little longer, is New Hampshire your furthest trip from home in this sort of capacity?
It is. That's the farthest I've been.
Have you, some of the other places you've gone to help out?
Kentucky, before this, would have been the farthest I've been on a mutual aid trip. Co-op down there got pretty severely damaged a couple of years ago. But frequently, we'll be within the state, within our sister co-ops, within our association. Again, mostly within state, but going out of state isn't uncommon. But yeah, this was the farthest that I've been.
Well, what we're going to do now is we're going to hear from an underwriter, we're going to hear a song, and we're going to come back. We've got Will Reed and Shay McMullen in studio. Stay tuned to Allegheny Mountain Radio. Oh, that was from the 2012 Outlaw Country Revival, the linemen, the Kentucky linemen. I'm joined by a couple linemen. They are not Kentucky linemen. They are from the Commonwealth of Virginia. I've got Shay McMullen. He's in the house with me. And Will Reed. They have both gotten back from a trip from New Hampshire. And, you know, you make me think of something, too. When you guys are, you know, on the road helping other co-ops, or there's an emergency situation in another locality, you know, you guys get on the road and you sort of abandon home and pack a lunchbox and a knapsack and get on the road. But, you know, while you guys are gone, you know, that sort of leaves a skeleton crew here. I mean, you know, how does that work when you guys take off like that?
So definitely to emphasize that point, you know, Bark has to make some pretty critical decisions when it comes to sending mutual aid crews to help other co-ops. Obviously, number one priorities are Bark Electric consumers. And so when a call is put out from the association for mutual aid, that puts in a process in effect where supervisors are communicating with in-state representatives from our associations what that need would be. And so again, the most important thing that our supervisors, top to bottom at the co-op would consider is, are we taken care of here at home? I mean, if we have a weather event in the state and there's other co-ops asking for help, we're certainly not going to send Bark resources to another co-op until we know that at home we are covered. So again, it's a pretty detailed process. A lot goes into it, a lot of 2 a.m. phone calls. I know my supervisor gets phone calls frequently from the association representatives that are calling, again, asking for help. So there's a lot of background information and decisions that go into that. And again, the most important priority that the consumers need to understand is that we're not be going anywhere if we're not right here at home. If the home co-op system is not If we have outages here, we're not going anywhere. In fact, I can recall a couple incidences where other co-ops have asked for help, and we've decided we could turn some crews loose, and in fact have been called back before we even got there because circumstances on our system dictated that we needed all of our resources here.
For years, the intelligentsia class have been having a debate, I guess, amongst themselves about whether or not linemen are, in fact, first responders. I think that debate is silly. I think you guys are absolutely first responders. You guys go out in inclement weather. It's tough. It's dicey. It's, you know, over the course of your careers, I'm sure you've had interactions with other first responders. Like, you know, talk about that relationship you guys have had with, you know, local first responders, whether they be from Millboro, Bath, or any of the other localities.
Well, I can think back, you know, obviously when lines are down in the road or, you know, there are fires started from down power lines, you know, obviously the fire department and, you know, the police departments are usually first on scene, but, you know, that's nothing, you know, not to, there's nothing that can be done until, you know, the lines are de-energized. You know, they're really not supposed to be working on the fires, working in close proximity to the down lines until the lines are de-energized. And it's kind of it's a big trust thing, you know, that they kind of have to have with you. You know, hey, is it safe now, you know, to proceed with our work before?
And Shay, I'll ask you, you know, is there a, you know, not to get too specific or anything, but is there a call or something you can remember over the course of your career where you and sort of first responders kind of working hand in hand to try to get the best of the situation?
Absolutely, and Will alluded to it. You know, we do work side by side with them, and I have the utmost respect for those guys. You know, when we're out there at 2 a.m. on a structure fire to do our part to de-energize or to secure our part of that situation, you know, those guys have been out there for an hour. They've been called out of bed, and again, utmost respect for those guys. But there was a specific call that we had a couple of years ago where there was a broken pole. And the first responders were there, the state police, all of those were there and working that situation. When we got there, it was actually determined that the line was still energized. So just appreciate the fact that they did their job in our absence, that they didn't get, I mean, again, we're looking at a life and death situation with a power line. And without going into specifics, it was could have been very bad. So I do, just that does stand out as one of those ones that you back off from and thank the good Lord for looking out for everybody that was on scene. And we were able to do our job. And again, you know, when everyone does their job as they're well-trained as we are, and a good mutual relationship, communication, if they're familiar with what, as Will talked about, what they can safely do, then it benefits everyone.
Well, I'll tell you that's about as clear and concise an explanation as you can give. Really appreciate that, you know, and it's not all serious times, tough times and everything. You guys have a little bit of fun too. I know there's a event, the International Lineman's Rodeo. You guys want to, Will, you've participated in that before as a member. Shay, have you participated?
Not the international, the local, more local regional rodeo.
Okay, so talk about the rodeo for you guys, if you know, what's the jump in there first.
Yeah, well, just in short, the rodeo is an event that allows, you know, linemen from, you know, certain regions, and at the international, it's, you know, all over the country, all over the world, really, to get together and just, for lack of a better term, show off their skills. You know what I mean? I mean, there's, you know, certain events, you know, pole top rescue, you have to climb up and get a simulated, you know, hurt dummy off of the pole. And whoever's fastest and has the least amount of deductions, obviously will score higher. And there's obstacle poles. We have to climb over obstacles and do certain tasks at every level of the pole. And it's a big kind of a gathering, you know, for everybody to get together. And, you know, the camaraderie's, you know, second to none. You get to see all your friends from other co-ops, you know, get together with the guys and talk about things, how things are going, catch up with everybody, you know.
Well, they do that international one in Kansas City. I imagine there's some pretty good barbecue out there for you guys, too.
Phenomenal. not talked about Kansas City, but actually at the more regional one, the Gaff and Go, that takes place here in Virginia, they actually do have a barbecue competition.
Where, oh.
Some of the guys who, you know, participate in the rodeo and the climbing events itself, they'll have a barbecue cook-off.
And, you know, that's awesome.
Share it together at the end of the night, and everybody gets to you know, taste everybody's barbecue and you know, get together and talk.
Well, the bad thing about radio right now is that none of you guys can see how big the grin on Shay's face is right now. We started talking about barbecue. Shay, I think that you might be a big bow greasy like me. I think you like the smoked meats and grilled barbecue. You like?
I'm a brisket man.
Brisket all the way.
Yes, sir.
Shay, you said you've done some of the local regional events, and you've been able to go to the international. Do you train for this? I mean, you know, it's like any other competition, right? You're not getting up just rolling out cold. You guys do some training for that, right?
Absolutely. There's a lot of time that goes into it. You know, Bart can hold their own with the best. Amen. And I'm proud to say that. In fact, I do want to say something. The different divisions, the different categories of competitions, they separate the apprentices from the journeymen. Obviously, there's difference in what goes on there at that certain time. But 3 years, I believe I'm correct, ago, Will actually won the overall.
Hey, man, I'm in here with a champion.
And just, I can't really emphasize what a big deal that is. That's a pretty tremendous feat. So we're extremely proud of Will, and he's done very well. But, yeah, there's a lot of training that goes into it. One thing that's unique about BARC is, you know, we are a small co-op, so manpower-wise, we don't have specifically a lot of time to train. We do train when we can, but if you knew the ratio of training that goes into it versus some other companies and co-ops that we can compete and hold our own against, I'm really proud of what the guys can do with that.
Amen.
We don't
Amen.
Spend a lot of time training, but they do very well.
Before we got down and started talking, got into the interview, we heard a song that Will had wrote. And did you write and arrange the whole music for your song, Will, or did you have that in conjunction with someone?
So that song in particular, I wrote on my own and put the chord structure together. And obviously the music production behind it was from a studio session with some guys down in Nashville. And they took it and ran with it. I sang the song to them, gave them the chord structure, wrote the charts out, and what they did with it was phenomenal.
Well, now you were saying off air too that Shay might be the best guitar player that no one knows about by far.
Absolutely.
So Shay, now that you're on the hot seat, when did you fall in love with music?
Well, I appreciate that, Will. I've played guitar for a number of years, and I started off when I was very young. My parents got me my first guitar when I was less than 10 years old. But I was very fortunate to have a really good teacher that taught me a lot. And it's a great thing to do, just a stress reliever, a little bit of a pastime. Bluegrass, country, gospel. I've had the opportunity to play in church. And definitely something that I enjoy doing.
Will, let me ask you then, you know, who are some of your musical influences or who sort of got you started down this journey?
Well, as far as musical influences that I know, first and foremost would have to be my dad. You know, he was in a bluegrass band my whole childhood, and you know, I can remember sitting around and singing along with him, and you know, trying to join in on the harmonies and stuff. And then there was always a guitar sitting around at the house, and you know, he would pick around on it. And then it wasn't until high school that I decided to pick up the guitar and start playing myself. And you know, just kind of evolved from there. I got my own guitar, and then him and I started playing together. Like Shay said, playing in church. And, yeah, just kind of went from there.
Who are some of the musicians, you know, currently or all time, who, I'll start with you, Shay, who have sort of influenced you, somebody you can put in and just push play and be ready to go?
You know, there's, not to give you a short answer to that, but there's just so many out there that if you listen to my playlist that I admire and respect. Dalen Vincent, if you're familiar with Dalen Vincent, tremendous bluegrass gospel singers and musicians. And that would be where I would say it would start.
Okay. How about for you, Will?
I'm big into classic country. I always have been. You know, like I said, my roots are in bluegrass music. So, you know, obviously one of the best bluegrass guitarists that ever existed was Tony Rice, and he was by far one of the biggest musical influences for me. But as far as a performer, I've always been a huge George Strait fan. Always loved Merle Haggard. You know, obviously all the classic country cliches.
Yeah.
I'm really big into songwriters. I've got a lot of favorite songwriters. I feel like songwriters are often discredited when you know, it comes to massive hits. You always hear about the performer, but the songwriter doesn't get nowhere near as the attention that they deserve. You know, obviously, you know, Kevin Denny, he's one of my favorite songwriters. He's a current Nashville citizen there. He writes a lot of stuff for some guys. And, yeah, there's so many. I could go on for days.
Well, I'll tell you guys, honest to goodness, I have invited both of these gentlemen back for our fundraiser to perform live in studio if they so choose. If schedules line up and they can do so, they're more than welcome to come back at the end of April and be part of our spring fundraiser. Shay, Will, sincerely, you guys made the show better. Thank you all for coming in. What we're going to do now is I'm going to transition into an underwriter. After we hear another song, we'll catch up on the weather in Town Crier and get back into the music. Stay tuned to Allegheny Mountain Radio.